Why hello everybody and welcome to episode 228 of Extreme Gaming Podcast. I'm your host Nick, also known as Extreme Everywhere, and now I like metal detecting.
This is Great Gamer 25 here at Gray's Green Room. Every month we do entertainment and stuff like that. Check our Discord out. Join now.
Hey, it's Trev here, and don't forget to try out for all your Star Trek goodness, and happy Twitch anniversary affiliate thing to you, Nick.
Where did you see this?
I don't know. They've been putting it in the chat.
Yeah, but I know, but I don't know where everybody saw it, because I couldn't see it when I came on. It didn't say to me, congratulations, you're not a partner yet, and you never will be.
Yeah, fair. Hello there, you beautiful people. My name's Ross Light. You can find me on all good social media platforms, and twitch.tv/RossLight. Check me out there.
Welcome in, everybody. Welcome in. How are you, boys? Are you all good? Is everybody in the chat all good?
We're all good. We're history in the making.
Good, good, good.
Good in the hood.
It's quite funny. Let's get through some stuff first. Right, so anyone got any questions, send them into contact@extremepcuk.co.uk, because that's the only email I've still got. Or you could just jump on our Discord, which is check out Extreme Gaming Podcast on Google Discord, and it will come up. Yeah, we have got another iTunes review, which I'm very, very grateful for. So I'm going to read that out. And it says, always great, 5 stars. Can't miss an episode. Should be a daily pod. Informative, relaxed, worth the first listen. Then you'll be hooked. A mixture of great information and nonsense that gets me coming back all the time. My number one pod. Keep it going, guys. It's a real pleasure. Smiley face from Richard Peachy.
Really what appreciate a name. That. Please say that's your surname. Please say that's your surname. That's brilliant. That's just peachy.
So we come back next week and the review's changed.
That's right.
How have you been? What have you been
called
up
me
to?
Peachy.
So me and just a little bit of information. Me and Ross, I took him. Obviously, you know, you all know by now that I've been going metal detecting and I'm well into like history and all that sort of stuff, as well as computers now. And I wasn't going to bring this stuff up on a gaming podcast, because probably a lot of people out there are going, why did this twat keep talking about this stuff? We're not interested. But it was quite funny. I took Ross along with me, and I told him to bring some waterproofs, because it was in a field that had just been cultivated. So it was like dusty mud everywhere. And yeah, he turned up. It poured down with rain by lunchtime. He was crying to go home, weren't you, Russ?
I wasn't crying to go home. I was thinking to myself, oh, I've done a hard day of digging all this dirt up. We found a couple good things. And I think I might head off. And then Nick was like, oh, no, just stay we can go to the pub afterwards. I was like, I guess so. So I ended up staying. And luckily I did, because we found some really cool stuff in the second half.
Yeah, so we got a horse pendant from a knight from the 1100s with the coat of arms on it. And I found out it wasn't King, I think it was King Henry II. It was actually just a family crest called Tipton. So if anyone out there is a Tipton and you are from like the Midland sort of area, we found your family crest on a horse's armour, which I think...
And how much is it going to cost you if you want to get that? How much are you holding them to ransom?
If I want
to
what?
If they want their coat of arms or their house of arms back or whatever,
Mayfair auction.
1,000 maybe?
There's an auction in Mayfair and they've already valued it. And they said that I should start. You've got to remember, this is an ancient item, so it's more about the value of the item than it is money. I don't do it to make money. I do it for the history, basically.
Can I guess 10 bob?
10 bob? No. They want to put it as a... what's it called when you... it has to go over a certain amount. What's it called? Reserve.
Reserve.
They want it as a reserve of 80 quid. So
that's your starting point.
Starting point of 80 quid, basically. So I reckon you might get 150 for it. But that's not bad in our second session. I also got a crucifixion nail from the Romans for crucifying people, which is pretty crazy. Big ass nail.
Not the crucifixion.
And then...
Nail. That's another country, mate.
And then, just to be really weird, we had this like axe pick thing we dug up, and we nearly threw it in the trash because they have like metal buckets on site. And basically, Ross was like, yeah, it does look like an axe. So I'd done some history on it, and everyone was saying, oh, it's a Viking axe. And then we found out it's not a Viking axe. It's actually a Viking fence post. And what it is because you don't have, on a gate, you don't have screws back in the day. So they would whack this big spike in there with a ring on it, and then they'd be able to hook a gate on it. So it wasn't as exciting. But I was so go on.
You're going to be paying off.
I don't know what you both.
You guys are great. The two of you talked right over each other twice.
You're going to be paying over. You're going to be paying off your little metal detector thingamabobber Joe in no time then with all these.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go.
It will be. But I'm not coming here to talk about metal detecting and that. We're going to talk about the games.
I thought it was cool.
But there is, if anyone is interested, I am going to be doing some stuff down that sort of pathway. How much is the metal detector? My one was £350. It's a medium level one. But I am thinking about the minute I earn £350 out of metal detecting, then I'm going for a Manticore, which is $2,000.
Wait. Explain, though, what the difference is. Except for the money, of course.
It doesn't, matter evil corporation. It doesn't matter what detector you get. They all detect metal. But the difference is a higher level one will wean out all the cheap metals and give you more chance of getting the higher end metals.
And go further down.
Yeah, and it will go further down into the ground and it will give you... It's better at this. So imagine you've got a gold coin and a silver coin in a hole together where they've dropped them. It's called a coin spill, yeah? Imagine you go over it with a detector and it'll go, because the different conductivities will have different tones of sound. So it'll go boop, 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 blah, as you go over it. Now, yeah, exactly.
One more time, please.
I'm going to have to clip that
like,
one.
Like R2D2, you're also
I said R2-duty.
R2-duty.
You're burst just like him.
Yeah. Anyway. It's not just that, it does the noises, it gives you vibration if it's steel or what's the other one, steel or iron, and then you get numbers to tell you stuff as well, so it's like you become one with your detector as you're going across the land.
Does it have like LiDAR built into it too?
LiDAR? That would be
cool. LiDAR is a radar that sees underground and shows you the shapes of everything.
Does it do this?
That would be cool.
That's a different technology to metal detecting.
Yeah, I know.
Light on it.
Now you attach it to it, you get both. You know, it's like
it would mix up the signals between the two.
It would just cost thousands and thousands of dollars. But hey, Nick, you know.
See, I got a question for you. See, if you get two of the detector things and you like cross the streams, does the atmosphere open up and like all the ghosts come down and shit? Like,
nah, they just bleep each other.
They bleep each other. That sounds rude.
One goes, there's a detector there. The other one goes, there's a detector there as well.
And they have a little mini detector, baby. Cool. Yeah. Nice story.
I tell you one thing about it is, it's really actually a cool thing. You go to a field, and Ross has experienced this. It's like a really bizarre.
He goes to a field often.
You go to a random field, and you all park your cars up. There's like 100 people there. And then you all get called over to that corner. And the guy goes, here's the field. You can go here. Here's all the history, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, take a photo of the map. And then he like blows his whistle. And everyone's done their history on what roads or what part of the corner. Like, Ross had his heart set on going to these big trees because people buried stuff by trees. I wanted to go to the Roman Road. Anyway, they blow their whistle and everyone scutters off in different directions, like, trying to get there first. It's pretty funny. But then everybody's really friendly. On our dig, we had lots of Roman coins and lots of... one of the best things I saw was ours was the best find, along with a Roman... It's like a little pocket, like metal pocket, like a little sort of pouch... And it has holy water in it, and it's sealed, and they take it with them on pilgrimages. And that was really cool. Like, it had a little, like, arms on it and stuff. But it is really cool. Like, I'm well into it, and it is really exciting. And obviously, when you come back, you do all the history on it, and you can make money out of it as well. So it's not like the gaming industry, where they mug you absolutely off, and they make you pay, like, I don't know,
$70
a game. And then the game doesn't even work.
Yeah.
Question though, on the metal detector that goes even deeper, does that mean you're gonna have to bring a shovel and really dig down there?
Oh man, you have to do that anyway. And
that's why you brought Ross with him. That's why you brought Ross with him. He's the muscle. He's gonna be digging up.
No, I tell you what. I tell you what. Ross was really good at though is once you've dug like this. It's called the plug. It's a circle, and you take out a lump of dirt, and it's in a solid circle. You have to. They're very strict on putting it back in and flattening it so you can't see it. And I wasn't heavy enough, but Ross, man. He's flat that plug flat.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy every single time. Got the hole filled in.
Bosh, filled that hole.
I didn't even think about filling the hole back up again.
To fill a hole.
Well, can you imagine if nobody filled the hole, you'd have these divots, gigantic ones everywhere in the field.
That's what it's
like. They're really bad. Everywhere. They're really bad at filling them holes.
Shell says, metal detecting simulator must be a thing by now. There actually is one. It's called Amazing Metal Detecting, I think. And I played it. I bought it. It's actually called, because I've got it on here somewhere, Awesome Metal Detecting. And it's the most basic game I've ever played. You literally got a detector and you just swing it back and forth. And you walk around and you find stuff. But it's got all the real coins and that on there. So good if you want to learn coins.
I heard that game was done in Unreal Engine 5 too.
Is it really? Or are you just saying that? No. Oh, right. I don't know. Right, anyway, let's get on with this podcast.
I don't know if anyone...
I would love to get feedback on this if anyone's up for it on the Discord or anywhere. At the moment, we still... Obviously, I always love the gaming and stuff like that, and we still will always do this podcast. But I'm actually thinking about maybe doing one which is the finds that we find, where every week or 3 weeks of the month, I will put out a image on like Facebook, Discord,
TikTok
and all of the social medias. It will be of a find that I've dug up like a week. Like it could be something like a musket ball, or it could be like something random. Then everybody talks about, because obviously when I put these messages out, all the historians come on and they're like, oh, I think it's this, and I think it's that, and I think it's this. And basically what I'm going to do is give a week, because my missus was talking about, she listens to true crime podcasts, and on them what they do is they talk about true crime, and then they have the pictures of the murderers and the people that got killed and all that sort of stuff. But I'm going to do a sort of similar one maybe, I'm just thinking about it at the moment, where it'll only be like a half an hour little podcast, separate, totally separate to this gaming podcast. And it'll be one find that we do, and basically it'll just be about what everybody thinks it is and then what it really is and how we found it and the little story behind it and what it is to do with history. I'd love anybody to let me know if that's something they'd be interested in hearing about.
I would.
Oh, Nick Snacks. That'd be pretty good.
Nick
Snacks. I would use that name. But the thing is with Nick Snacks is...
You don't want to see them.
You need to have metal detecting in the title. But I could have that, metal detecting Nick's Knacks.
Nick's Metal Knacks.
But this is what I'm going to do. This is an idea I've got, because it's another hobby I've got. I'm serious about it. I do like it. I'm so serious. I don't know if you can just see just there. I actually have a...
Display case.
I've actually just bought a display case to put all the bits on that we've got. So it's pretty cool. But right, let me know your thoughts, everybody, on the Discord. I really appreciate them, and now I'll get back to the computer games that are always broken.
Yeah, including Greyzone.
So the first one we want to talk about is a game called Bannerlords. Oh, no, sorry, Mannerlords. I got pulled up on a Discord earlier for it because I've got the name muddled up.
Yeah, Ant was mugging you off, man. Was it Ant? No, it was Cal.
Why you always got to mug me up, bruv? Why are you mugging me off, man? Yeah. Nah, everyone's used to it. They all know that I just make it up as I go along, so it doesn't matter. I don't care.
Yep.
But anyway, so Mannerlords is a game that came out on Xbox Game Pass recently. I hadn't heard of it or seen it or anything, and Comic just texted me saying, this is right up your street. Obviously, I love castles, as you all know. I love churches and stuff like that and old historic buildings, and I love the medieval era. Now... basically, this game, Mannerlords, is a map, and you've basically got it all broken up into different manors, and you're the lord of your own little area, and it's basically a city-building strategy game where you go back to medieval times, and you have to basically build up little armies. I would say it's a little bit like... what's the turn-based strategy game? Age of Empires, but... on a more strategy level, like it's not so fast-paced. Slow-paced strategy city builder like SimCity, and then it moves into that sort of game. Ross, I know you want to talk about this game. I'll be intrigued to hear what your view is on this, because you're not really a strategy guy.
No, I'm not really a strategy guy, but what I've seen of this game is actually quite interesting in terms of how you build up your houses, how you collect the materials, how you get your characters to build their own cities. What I really found interesting, which I haven't seen in any type of strategy game ever, is you can go into first person and actually walk around the streets you created, and it's just
You can't
insane.
Walk around, you can just float around, can't you?
No, you walk around with a character that you have. And
well, I've not seen that.
Yeah, it's I can't remember how you do it, but you can literally go into a character.
Are you sure it weren't you last night asleep dreaming you've been playing the game?
Maybe, could be, I'm not too sure. No, it wasn't me sleep dreaming. I was watching a streamer, one of my favorite pirate software, play it, and I was seeing like he was walking around just chilling out in these houses. I'm just like, oh, okay, that's insane that you can go into first person mode and actually see what you've built and how you've built it. Obviously you can speed up time. Also another thing I found interesting is the wars that go on in the game itself.
I haven't got so, that far yet.
All right, I won't spoil
it. No, you can go for it. It won't spoil it. I know what to expect. It's the same as other strategy games. It's just the way you go about it.
They use like a card system where you have a set amount of characters and you can use these cards to make them into attack position, defense position, and offense position. And each position changes the percentages of, like, if you're in the defense position, you got 50% more defense, but 50% less attack. So if you go into a war with defense position troops, they're not going to be able to attack as well as attack position troops, but obviously they're not going to be able to defend as well. So it's all about splitting your troops and making sure they're actually properly laid out and make sure you can actually kill the enemy.
I had a couple of people that I spoke to about this game, and they was put off by it because they was like, it's like SimCity, City Builder, but then when it goes into battle mode, they was a bit concerned because they was like, it goes into, like, you know the game Total War?
I've heard of it, yes.
It's like where you have mass army fights. But I thought that was a good take on it, because it's sort of like, that sort of takes, like with SimCity and all them sort of games that were like, or Town Builders, like them sort of games, you don't generally see that. And as you can zoom into first person, you can go right into like really deep in so that you can see all the houses and everything. This is like building up your manor and then you just let it play out with what's going on. And I think the game aim of the game is to take over all the other areas.
Yeah, well, you can start wars on people. You can make friends with the bandits in the woods if you want to. You can say to the other lords, like,
hey.
I bet
you've made a few friends with the bandits in the woods.
Oh, all the friends with the bandits. Boy. Bandits are the best people. Wait, what? What do you mean by that, Nick? Oh, no.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
But it's really interesting from the different aspects that it has. It's almost like a mishmash of all these different games, but with the most extreme elements put into them. So people say it's like Sims, but it's like Sims if Sims was realistic.
So have you played the game or you've just watched it?
I've watched it so far. I've started downloading it, and you know what my internet's like.
You've got a few days.
I've got a few days.
For me, like, I normally get on with these games straight away, and I really do like this game, and I will be playing it properly, and I will, because it's like, for me, remember Crusader Kings 3? That is a very, very steep learning curve to play that. Now, this game, it feels a bit like that to me, because it's going back to the original of how England would have been back then, where you've got the manors and you've got vassals and you've got a king who's taking tax. And the way it would have worked back then is whoever the lord of the area was, the king would have used that lord. The lord would have, it'd be a hierarchy. So what happens is the king takes money from the lord takes taxes from the people for all the different areas. So if you look in that game, every house has a taxation on it and stuff like that. And what you've got to do is you've got to build up this massive, like, hierarchy to go forward in the game. And I really like games that are really, really realistic over games like where you're just building up an army and you're fighting, and then you build up another army and you fight. It's like in Crusader Kings. You have to get rights to be able to the land to be able to attack, and you have to do the same in this from what I've seen. When I started the game, What I did notice was quite hard is that I couldn't see no tutorial. There was tips, there was tool tips and stuff, but there was nothing really explaining a lot of the stuff. Like, so I put down, first of all, I put down like a hunting hut because I thought that would be good. And then I put down a tree felling like building to cut the trees down. And I thought that would start giving me materials. And then it started saying something about, oh, you've only got one ox. And the only way to move materials around is the ox to move the materials around. Now, if that ox is moving stuff around, then you can't do nothing else simultaneously to that. So if it's just moving stuff, you can't actually build. So then you had to switch things around. And the way it works is every house you build can have a family in it, and it can populate like five people or something. And then you've got to make sure that as people start coming to your little town, that you give them a job somewhere. So as a new guy comes, I can be like, right, you go and work in the berry hut. Oh, you're going to work in the hunting lodge. You're going to work here. And I found that I got a bit stuck at the beginning because I didn't have enough people to move them into all the different places, you know? So, and at that point, everybody got onto Fallout 76 and I had to get off, but I'm going to play this a lot more.
By the way, Irish Guardian said that if you hit the eye symbol, you can get into the first person mode that Ross was talking about.
Okay, that's how you do it. I couldn't remember how you did it, to be honest, but it's very kind of like throws you in and like, yeah, you should know what to do with this. Yeah. And it's just like very raw, and it's just like you have to learn as you play. I find that kind of, if you've played games like in the past, it's very easy to get into it. But if you just come to a game like I would, I wouldn't know what to do, and I'd be like, buttons. That's why I started watching some streamers play it, so I could get an idea of what to actually do and actually how to play the game. Where this game doesn't have any tutorials, it's one of the games, one of the rare ones, where
it does have a tutorial and it has tool tips. But obviously with you reading it and stuff, that's going to be extremely hard for you because they pop up randomly as well. I tell you what it does have, which is different. It has a technology tree, which is massive, and you can unlock loads of new buildings and stuff and unlocks for all different stuff, which when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That gives me a reason to keep playing the game and keep moving forward. And I will definitely play this game until I get sort of like up there. I like to, all the games that I'm stuck into at the moment, which is Fallout 76 and this, I want to get the achievements on them.
I know that 100%. I want to get all the achievements on Fallout 76. But the problem with Fallout 76 is it's supposed to be completely fixed. Within the first 20 minutes of me playing it last week, I got completely stuck to the point where I had to restart the game.
Wow. We'll talk about that in a minute anyway.
Nick, who's winning between you and Ross in the old achievement scoring? Yeah. Who's the biggest achievement whore then?
I've got a few other points. He might have just crept in front of me. Can you check it now?
Yeah, I'll go and check now real quick.
Can you see my points on there as well?
The achievement race.
Because
1,648.
I think Trev's just a bit jealous because he's like, I want to get in this achievement race, but
I've only got
trophies.
Yeah, I don't even want to come close to doing that.
I've got trophies, but I don't try to go out my way to get them, if that makes sense.
That's because they've got no worth to them.
Exactly.
It's just
no
a different. I don't mind the trophy system, but it's a different setup.
You're not getting it. Trophies are dog shit.
Not a platinum trophy. Do you know how hard it is to get a platinum trophy?
Yeah, I don't. Because you're missing the point. It's not about how hard it is to get the trophy. It's about that it's been an Xbox thing for all Xbox elite players for a long time. It's ingrained into us. We know that we want to get all the Xbox achievements in a game. We know what it means, but PlayStation's never done that.
I don't have a single platinum trophy, and I'll never try and get one, to be honest here.
How do I explain this to him, Ross?
You're an achievement whore, I get it.
No, I'm not. It's
yes, you
are.
Was
an Xbox, you obviously wasn't an Xbox player back in the day.
I was. I had an Xbox 360. I loved it. The Xbox One came out and it was dog shit.
You had no friends then?
What's wrong with the 360? Well, everyone had a 360.
No, because if you had friends and you had a 360, you would be competing in achievements.
Nah, I've never fussed about that, man.
He's got no friends. He had no friends, did he? He was that kid in the corner.
The best way to
maybe he just didn't like him.
The best way to explain it, I can explain with this, is when you look at trophies, it's just like, it's three categories, and that's it. With achievements, there's a whole range of different categories of achievements. All the way up to like 250G, from 100G to 1 or 2G. There's a couple of achievements that came out, like weird ones that you never think you'll get, like secret achievements and all these other things you can get as well. And when you look at your score at the end of the day, you're like, oh, I've got 62,905 gamer score. That's what I got right now. And it's just like, that is the total sum of the games I've played. But when you look at PlayStation, it's different.
I've got 10 of them, 2 of them, and 1 of them.
Yeah, it's
hard
like,
to compete.
It's a weird thing where it's just like, oh, I've got this many bronze, this many silvers. I don't know if you've got golds, this many golds, think, and this many platinums.
I think Trev switched off. He's had enough of it.
I'm still here. I can tune out a lot of nonsense.
Like, I will ignore this.
I'm just sitting here growing older.
No, but what I was trying to get across is the point is back in the day on the Xbox 360 is when it started on. I don't know if the point started on the Xbox One, was it, or the Xbox 360?
It was the Xbox 360 when the online mode came out.
And it was basically, if anyone was playing, you had avatars and that, and I don't know if you remember this, back then you set up your avatar and you'd unlock clothes and stuff in games, what he was talking about the other day, and then people would come to look at your profile, and they would be like, oh, I play this game, he plays this game, but he's beating me. And it got very competitive to beat people, and it put us all into this mode of like a whole new thing, a scoring system to play your games. And if you was an Xbox gamer back then, you got highly addicted to it. Like I said, I was at Love Film and I paid $5.99 and I would literally have every single game coming through my...
Love Film, do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember Love Film. For those of you old enough to remember,
that's something everybody forgot about.
That was after Blockbuster. Yeah, just about that.
Well, they killed Blockbuster and then digital streaming killed them.
Netflix, yeah. Yeah,
Netflix killed the Blockbuster.
If somebody at Love Film, literally thought of the streaming first, instead of Netflix today, it could be Love Film still.
They had a chance to buy Netflix and they turned it down.
Did they?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Years and years ago. Blockbuster could have bought Netflix.
I bet their CEO is sitting in some like chip shop door at the moment with piss all around his trousers. Yeah. We're eating one chip just thinking... I could have been a rich.
See what you mean.
I could have been a contender.
Oh, that's funny.
But anyway, back to Banner Lords. It's a game for me that I really want to get into because, I don't know if everyone knows this. I've always loved history. With my autism and stuff, I've always been into castles and churches, like old buildings. And I've said it before. Sometimes I have like this moment where I just go into a rut for like 2 weeks. You won't see or hear anything about me. I'll just be gone. No one can contact me. And Gray knows this already now, don't you, Gray? That if all of a sudden a picture of a castle pops up somewhere, he's like, oh man, something's wrong with Nick. I got to get down there and see him out. It's not a hyper fixate on it. It's called, I can't remember the name of the bloody thing. What's it called, Ross?
Hyperfix?
No, could you have a meltdown? Oh, so you have a meltdown, but this is called a shutdown. And what it is, you just can't take what's going on. Like at one point...
Sounds like every day.
I had some stuff happen with my work and stuff, and I messed up all my paperwork for my end of year tax, and I messed up something on it, and it messed me up, yeah? And I was like, oh my God. I thought I was going to have to pay loads of money out, yeah? And I didn't have that much money. And I went into like, oh my God, like all night. I was thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Started panicking that. And then that's it. Bang. It happens. You get a thing called a shutdown. So obviously you have a meltdown where you start going mad and shouting and losing your temper and you can't contain stuff. But shutdown's the total opposite. You literally, my missus can see it a mile off. I will just won't talk to anybody. And then I'll start slowing down, moving around. And then I end up by just going into the bedroom, shutting the door, shutting the curtains, turn all the lights off. And I don't want to see anyone for like 2 weeks. And that's it. I just don't talk to anybody.
2 weeks?
Yeah. And it won't go for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, you won't see me. I won't go to work. I won't do anything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
You can't help it. It's like something that happens and you nice and peaceful for the missus. Yeah, it's her messing up my tax bill. She's like, I'll get rid of that son of a bitch.
It must be really quiet around the night.
Yeah. Kids, can you just do this and just send him away for a little while?
That's it.
Nah, it just happens. Boom. But it's like the end of the world's coming and you just think, I don't know if you've ever had that, Ross. Have you ever had that?
I think I've had it without realizing it because I've had moments where I've just been like, I'm not doing anything today. I'm just not doing this. I'm not doing that. I have like a really regimented schedule for like a month or 2 months. And then all of a sudden a week will go by and I've just been like, oh, I've just been laying on my bed for 3 hours. I've not done anything.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do. And you just do nothing. And my missus now knows the only way to get me out of it is to take me to a castle. And then we wander around looking at it. And then I sort of come back out of this hole.
Let me know next time that happens. I will definitely text you many pictures of castles. That was just like, I'll just be spamming the castles.
Yeah. Castles in bio.
Manor Lords. So it's free on Xbox. It's not free, but if you just pay for your Xbox.
Yeah, Xbox Game Pass.
But try it out, everyone. Let us know what you think. Right, Ross, I see you've put in there Escape from Tarkov.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this, to be honest, because I just remembered. Escape of Tarkov is a online looter shooter that people have enjoyed for years and years and years. And their CEO decided to make a very stupid decision about some DLC. So, for those of you who don't know about the controversy that's been going on with Escape of Tarkov, they've released a limited edition pack that gives some pay-to-win features to the game. Yeah, that's bad enough as it, on itself. It costs $250, so about £200.
Money grab.
Wow.
Pounds.
No, it's £250 as well,
mate. Detecting. This is the shit I'm talking about, man.
Yeah, it's £250 as well. Well, this isn't even the worst of this
Games
situation.
Games are just becoming sellouts everywhere.
Wait a minute, there's something worse than $250?
Let the man finish. I'm not aggrieved at this one as well.
Yeah, there's a worse situation. So, for those who got into the game early, there was a special DLC pack that you could buy, which was £100 and $100 at the time. On the pack itself, it said all future content, all future DLC would be available to you. So if you brought this pack, you invested in the game early, you could have everything that comes out for this game forever to the end of time, right? There was a new PvP mode added with this new limited edition pack, which was a downloadable content pack. The devs and the owner of Escape from Tarkov decided this wasn't DLC. They decided this was something exclusive with the £250 limited edition pack. Unfortunately, the people who brought that £100 pack, they got the pack actually edited on the website itself to remove the old DLC, and they got caught red-handed doing that. There was so much outrage and so much rage against this. A lot of long-term players have actually left the Tarkov community forever. They've lost tons and tons of people. But they didn't double down. They tripled down on this. So they had the first wave of people being like, what the hell is this? £250. And then they said some weird comments. One of the weird comments that is... this is where we find out where we have the true players, to paraphrase, but something along them lines. It's just absolutely ridiculous. What do you mean by true players? You mean the people who will just buy this no matter what, who will just want to do this? And it's ridiculous when you think of this is a game that's been an already established game that decided to have a short-term benefit to destroy their long-term goals.
But it has always had problems, this game.
It's had problems with cheaters. It's had problems with everything. I want to go and actually play it. I've heard some people talking in the community, in other communities I'm in, about Escape on Tarkov.
Ross is like, hold on a minute. Do I hear some people getting mugged off? Let me in.
No, I did actually want to play it until this all happened. Now I'll never play this game. I won't even touch it with...
Escape from Tarkov is the same as what The Cycle was. It's a escape game where you have to get off the island, sort of, so to speak. So, and then you get AI and you get real players. And whatever you get when you get out, you get to keep your loot. I actually... When this first came out, or was a thing, and there was a lot of people talking about it, because it was a new gimmicky sort of game back then, I actually asked them for a couple of keys for this game, and they told me that the UK's already had too much keys, and that I should stop trying to get keys, and I should basically just buy the game. And I never bought it because I'm tight. But watching what happened after that and the way it's panned out, I don't know if I actually like... I don't know them personally, but I feel like my gut instinct is they're out for the money and not the passion.
Yeah. Sure. You know? A quick hit of 250. That's pretty good.
Especially now, because they're a Russian company, aren't they? So they're all broke.
No, they're not a Russian company.
Are they not?
No, they're based in the UK.
That makes it even worse. And they charge £250 to $250. That's not how it works.
So basically, there is a potential class action lawsuit coming out of this as well. Against Escape on Tarkov, because they technically did false advertise to the whole player base, and there's a lot of players aren't happy about this, and they have legally a very good foot to stand on with this, because they did false advertise.
Yeah, you can't get away with that stuff this day and age.
No.
You know, like, everybody's on everything. If there's some kind of loophole or something happened, they find it nowadays, man. Everybody's out there, you know. Deathbeard says, I'm a 2017 player, which cost me £150, and I was fuming with a £250 upgrade. I would be as well, but I would stop playing the game. I would be like, I'm out. I've had enough. I would say I want a refund, and I'd be out.
Well, the devs did say, like, if you have got the £150 version where you get all the DLC, they're going to be released. You can upgrade. They're reducing the price now for those who want to upgrade. And if you have already upgraded, you can get some money back if you message their team. But I think it's like a limited time. So if you have spent that extra money, make sure to message them and get that extra money back off them.
Even that's not good. It's like I was saying, my mini, I sent the guy, I sent it to have a new crank put in there. And the guy's done loads of stuff to my mini. He's fixed the crank, but he's broke everything else. And He literally put a hole in it, had to paint the rear quarter of my car. And I was like, he said to me, how are we doing this paint then? We're going 50-50. And I was like, no, we're bloody not. You've broke my car. You're going to pay for all of it. And now these are the same sort of thing. Like, they've charged the 150 and they're saying now, if you want a 250 upgrade, what they should be doing is not just trying to get a level playing field. They should be trying to claw their players back. They should turn around now and go, right, the 250 upgrade is free for everybody that paid £150, and it'll be £150 going forward. That's what they should do. They should cut their own losses, not make it on other people to have a problem. Do you know what I mean?
Even with that, Nick, the problem with the 250 upgrade is the pay-to-win aspects of it.
Yeah,
even if they were to give everyone the thing for free, it still's got game-breaking items in. It's still got extra stuff that you shouldn't really have. It has advantages that, you know, you're paying for, so pay to win.
You know, in my experience, if I was building like a gaming PC for someone, and when I was making this gaming PC, I slipped with, say, a screwdriver, and I smashed the glass on the front of the computer. Yeah. Firstly, I would never turn around to the customer and be like, "Oh, you've got to buy a new piece of glass. I've smashed it." I would never turn around to them and say, "Oh, can we pay 50-50? I've smashed it." Do you know what I would do? And this is why I'm good at what I do. I'd be like, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm really, really sorry that I've caused this. This is like, I'm a professional. I don't make mistakes very often, but everybody makes mistakes. And the fact that I've made a mistake is embarrassing for myself. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will buy you a new piece of glass to go in there, and I'll take 30% off your bill of the whole build, because I don't want that name, because that's not what I do. The guy will walk away going, do you know what? He made a mistake, but he basically fixed a mistake and then went the extra mile for me. That's what they need to do. They need to go the extra mile to bring people back. Otherwise, people should just wipe them off, man. Don't play their game anymore.
The problem with it is, as well, is out-of-touch devs and out-of-touch creators. People who have been in this industry for so long, who have got out of touch with what the common player goes through. So the 250 price point, even the 150 in the early days, is a ridiculous amount of money, but it's for the people at that time that believed in it. Which was fair enough. You got all future DLC, they said, which, you know, false advertising still.
Well, they're stupid for doing that in the first place.
They're ridiculously stupid.
Ross, did they not relent and end up giving most, if not all, of the access to those middle-tier guys? I'm sure I read something about that. But they done it after a few days and a couple of going back and forth.
What they done is they got right to the core point where they had to, otherwise they knew that they was going down a bad way. Twitter was going to kill them, basically, otherwise. You know, when it gets on social media and it starts going like wildfire and they're thinking, like, we better rein this back in right now, do something extra and stop it now. There would have been a guy right at the top. I've been there. I've been at these companies when something goes bad like this, and it hits it hits the marketing guy at the bottom, and it hits his boss, and it hits his boss, and then it hits someone higher up, and then you get a phone call on the phone, blower, going, somebody's messed up here. someone's getting sacked. Sort it out now, otherwise you're all gone. And then everyone panics.
Well, Nick, the last update I got from this is, as Trev said they relented a bit. The last update, what I've seen so far from this, you might want to check the news, you might want to check the Discord, you might want to check this out yourself. The last update I got is for the EOD players, the people who brought the expansion pack when it first came out, they're given 6 months of access and a reduced cost on the upgrade. That's what they're doing at the moment. Also, Nick, it's not the bottom of the barrel where this came from. It was literally the top guy at Tarkov when he had an interview said, when he was asked about this, this is a off-record interview. This is an interview that never came out, so this is speculation, but the interview has been talked about. In the interview, when he was asked about this, he was like, no, just gave a one-word response, wasn't bothered about it whatsoever, didn't seem like he heard his community. But this just goes to show you, if you mess about with your
not
main
that he
player
didn't hear
base,
them, he didn't listen.
No, he didn't listen, but like he didn't want to listen. And if you mess about with your main community, like your community in the gaming world is everything. And if you disrespect them, you've not got a game. At the end of the day, when it comes to online games like this as well, if you're also making terrible decisions, your player base is going to let you know about that very, very quickly, because you're not going to have any players. You're going to be like, oh, with the players. Yeah. Aren't they? Because if you listen to them, they would have stayed.
Ross, I think they completely relented, or more or less completely right. There was another tweet after the one you mentioned. That was the first one saying, okay, we'll give you 6 months. And then there was one after saying something about, yeah, we'll give you some beta access as well. And then once that's gone, you're screwed. And then they went, okay, right, we'll give you the access once it comes out of early access, but the game may never come out of early access as well.
But,
so there is that.
But what he's done is he's done the bare minimum he can at the latest point, rather than day one going, oh, I messed up, I should have done this, I'll do this. Yeah. He's done it by force of watching his community decline and get angry. Anyway,
you're right.
Let's not give them the time. Let's move on. Escape from Tarkov.
Escape from playing Tarkov.
Yeah, I like that. Escape from playing Tarkov. There you go.
Similar to Grey Zone, which we'll talk about at some point as well.
And I didn't make Grey Zone, so don't blame me.
Everyone played Grey Zone.
Yeah, why is it noted down?
The other day in our Discord, Irish Guardian was playing a bunch of it, and I was watching, and a couple other people, so we're all in the room together. And I don't know if it's even worth the $30 or £25.
Go on, tell us about it, Grey. What you saw?
I mean, Irish can pipe up. He's in there. But what I saw basically was the only thing that even mattered or had any reaction to anything you did was the player and attacking other players. As far as the environment was concerned, none of it moved. So in other words, if an enemy went behind an automobile, let's say, and you want to throw a grenade at him, okay, you can blow him up.
Is that your little rat in the background?
Can you let your dog out of the cage, please?
Yeah, he'll stop soon. He's not in the cage, actually. That's why he's barking. So what happened was you throw a grenade at the enemy who's hiding behind a car. The enemy dies. The car is absolutely spotless. Yeah. Nothing happens to it. So then to prove it, Irish went around shooting anything he could, because I told him, I said, let's shoot stuff so we can see if it reacts. And he would shoot like tires, he would shoot cars, he would shoot whatever, nothing happens.
Yeah, but is that because this game at the moment's early access or something, and it's based on them actually getting the main core game working nicely? Because I know in a lot of these games, they want the mechanics of the game, shooting, hitboxes, stuff like that, to be perfect first, and then they work on all these extras after.
I mean, I'm not going to say that wouldn't be part of the reason, but I mean, nothing else was you were able to do anything with. I mean, you just couldn't do anything.
Did
throw
the game
anything
look fun?
I'm sorry?
Did it look fun, the game?
The game looked really good. Graphic-wise, it looked beautiful, to be honest. And I was impressed by what I read, and I was thinking about trying it until I saw him play it. And then I'm going like, nah, I'm going to wait till they do some heavy-duty patching.
Is it in early access?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So it's early access, and it's still 25 quid.
No, yes, it's 30
apparently.
Pounds.
Oh, it's 25 that he paid.
I thought it was $25 and $30.
Go on, Steam. Yeah, Steam, 20 or 30.
But the thing is, there's early access, and then there's early access.
Well, the thing is, early access used to be 15 quid, and that's fair enough. And then maybe once it gets to a good state, then it's 30 quid, and then maybe then...
A lot of early access was actually free, remember? They used to do early access for nothing.
Did they?
There was games going back a couple of years where they would give you early access for almost nothing.
The best early access that I saw was when we played that Starship simulator. I wonder if that's had a good update yet. And I walked into the door and fell straight through the space.
I did hear it's actually gone pretty far. Still a lot to go, but that it has gone pretty far. Before, it was just like wandering around and opening doors. But you know, now apparently you can do a bunch more with it. So who knows? Iris, to be fair, Iris said another patch is coming to fix the NPCs in the game. And he said the rubber banding is more or less fixed.
They should be releasing in that kind of state. I know it's early access, but it's got to be in some kind of playable state. Yeah. I was watching Shroud play it briefly, and I can only comment on little bits that I saw when I was kind of half watching it. But they were in a helicopter going across. It looked like something right out of Predator, man, I'm telling you, right, in the Viet Cong. And they're going across, but it was very stuttery, you know, like not smooth at all. And I don't get that because Shroud will have a great PC and a great internet connection. And it was very stuttery with all these issues. I'm like, that's not good enough, guys.
But that's an early access thing. You can't complain about that when it's early access. They're working
on it. No, but it's got to be playable at least. Look at Enshrouded. Yeah. There's the gold standard, Nick. That's what it should be. That's perfect.
Well, Enshrouded is quite unusual, that, you know, in that respect, yeah. I think. I don't care. I don't mind some problems, but if it's way, way early access,
they fixed it.
You know. They fixed some things with it.
See if we all keep thinking this is normal, like, or accepting it will be the norm, so we can't keep it up with it otherwise.
And this is why. And I don't want everybody to think out there that I'm like, I don't want to be a gamer anymore, and don't like gaming anymore. But I feel like there's a lot of people in a similar boat to me right now, where games come out, they're never finished, they're terrible, they don't work, the servers go down, yeah. The price of them is ridiculous. They reckon GTA might be £120. Absolute joke, yeah? And then they're going to expect you to pay money monthly on top of that to buy bits and pieces.
I don't know. That's all speculation.
Speculation or not. I've seen it enough with Call of Duty. Like, Call of Duty, I used to play that game, and I used to love it when it came out, and we'd all jump on, and we'd play a team, and we would have tournaments and stuff. And then the reason why we stopped it is because they started coming out, like, within... like shorter than a year or whatever, and you can't carry your guns over into the next one. Why? What's the point of me getting these rare guns then? Stupid.
Yeah.
It could for a while. Annoying.
Yeah, but these things are just like, they're wearing me down, man. The gaming industry is wearing me down with all these stupid things that are coming out, and they just think we're stupid. Like, games come out, we all go to play it. Look at that one you had, that day one. What is that all about? The game came out, it went by wildfire. Everyone wanted to buy it because they put a video out saying it's got all this stuff in it. It was photorealistic. It was really good. You all played it and there was nothing in it. They got slated. The company shut down and Steam forced them to give refunds back to everybody. Like, how can that happen?
These people. It seems like anything goes now, which is really bad. And look, it's making an impact on the industry. They're not firing people just, you know, left and right for just no reason. So there's obviously it's affected them, and now they have to cut back, which is probably even worse because then you won't see games coming out as frequently, or maybe nor as good. So it is definitely a mess. It's definitely a mess.
And that brings me on to say, which you'll just see me have put in the notes. Grey Zone. Yeah. Whatever. I don't know if we spoke about this already. I can't remember. Did we speak about Elite Dangerous on the podcast?
No, we spoke about it in the Discord, but not in the podcast.
So, Elite Dangerous, obviously, we was all playing that. We've all been waiting for the black to open up, and we've all been waiting for blah, blah, blah. Another game, complete and utter sellout. Literally, you can now buy these new ships with money, fully kitted up. Now, Trev, when I tell you about
No, wait, whoa. Let's back up and be a little fair here. It's not fully kitted up. These are starter ships that are no better than a starter ship in Star Citizen, let's say. That's all. There's nothing. There's no way you're going to be able to accomplish a whole lot in these ships unless you do what you got to do.
That's not what I heard. I heard they're doing ship packages for each ship, so you can buy a ship with all the engineering done on it.
Nope. Nope. You buy the ship and it's at a certain level, very low level, but above a starting with nothing. What they're trying to do is to get people to get a little more.
Still pay to win.
How can you pay to win with a ship that's like way down here?
Pay to win. All right, Trev, if I get a starting ship level 0 and then I get a ship that's level 5 out of 50, yeah? And I pay 50 quid to get that ship. Is that pay to win?
Yeah.
It's pay to win.
If
you're paying money for it, if you're getting it for free, that's different.
And what really pisses me off the most with Elite Dangerous is the reason why we love the Elite so much, we paid 3,000 hours each of it, is because in that game, Trev, you get a ship, and then what happens is you spend, and I'm not joking, you spend a month going to different places in the galaxy, finding materials and bringing them back to upgrade one little item on your ship. And it gives you a unique way of making your ship different. I might have the same ship as Grey, but mine will be much better in an area to his because I've built up that area of hundreds of little bits I've gone and mined and found and dug up and done whatever with. Oh, now we just come along, pay 10 quid. Bum, done.
Well, by the way, I'm not condoning that that what they're doing. I'm just telling you that what they're doing is giving you a low-level ship for X dollars or whatever. I don't like it. No.
Don't think they should just... that you've played the game for that long to get your ship to that levels and someone might just pop up with one now.
What I thought they were going to do is they just were going to come out with new ships, which would be cool, you know? And so I don't understand why they had to go this route. Just come
because
they
got
no
revenue coming in. So what they thought is, hold on, let's just put a little boost in for people. We'd make some money on the side. The other thing about Elite Dangerous has really annoyed me as well. And I'm not 100%. Someone might be out there with a lot more information than me. I heard the news and I sort of switched off and thought, you know what? I can't even bother to waste my time on it. It sounds bad. Probably is bad. All the other games are doing bad things. It's probably true. Anyway, so if I'm wrong, someone write in here and tell me. But the other thing they said they're going to do is they said about basically, with the 2.0 of the, factions? What's it called? Power Play.
It's Power Play 2.0, yeah.
Now, they made this big speech about how they're going to make Power Play easier and this and that and the other, but I think it's only the Power Play with the actual, president and the main factions in the game. It's nothing to do with the BGS, nothing to do with us smaller factions that are all fighting for space. They didn't say, oh, we're going to open up the bubble to make it twice as big and that give you more space to fight and everything. They just said they're going to make it easier to do the Power Play that's already there. And everything they really said, it felt to me a bit, and I don't, if I'm wrong, someone tell me, but it felt to me like they were just jumbling stuff around and going, oh, we've played with this and made it easier and we've done this to it to bring players back, when really all they'd done is jumbled it around. It's no different. Oh, we're going to give you weapons, this, that and that. You get them anyway. Oh, you can unlock this if you go up the levels. You do that now, but people just don't know where it is and they're just making it more visible.
What they were saying on the Power Play 2.0 is that their first goal was the fact that they didn't want people to jump in just to get a module that you can only get in Power Play, and then they jump right out again. They're trying to make it, they're changing it so that you would get involved in Power Play and you would stay in Power Play because it would mean something more than it was before. And that is true. I only jumped into Power Play to get the modules, and then I was right out of there. Right. So this supposedly is going to change entirely. And now you're going to be able to stick with the power play. You're going to be able to get a tiered amount of rewards for how far you go with everything.
But you already get that in there.
And what they said is, and I'm not sure how this is going to work exactly, but they said that once you attain a certain level, there's like 3 tiers, and when you're at the top tier level, you can automatically then go into the next system and take over that one. And they start you out like at not tier 1, not tier 3, but like tier 2 in the middle. And then you have to pursue that system and see if you can take over that system. And then you can go on to another system and take over that system. So I'm sitting there going like, okay, well, that's different. You know,
but the thing is,
I agree with you. They didn't
open
up the bubble or anything. Now, the other thing they said, but of course it's very vague, is they said that, and there's more big things coming, you know, to Elite at the end of the year and beginning of next. I don't know. Whatever that means.
No. All they need to do is open up the bubble, make it so we can build a space station. And like I said, it could be a massive amount of work you need to do. Maybe you need to play for 3 months to have one station put in another system. That would be enough for us to get working, wouldn't it? We would do that. We would.
The other thing they mentioned in the Power Play, which was a little interesting, was that apparently the powers in the game have a big, massive battleship or whatever you want to call it. And they said that that battleship was a one-hit kill thing. You go close to it, you get blown up, and that's the end of that. Now they're going to make it vulnerable. You can actually go in there with a pack of your buddies, a big pack of your buddies, and take their ship out. So if you can take their ship out, now you've accomplished a big deal.
Yeah.
So that's something new.
I don't know. I don't think there's...
I'm going to wait till it rolls out and see what people say before I even attempt to go back.
It just feels to me sort of like they're just jumbling it around to try and make it sound like they're doing something when they're not really doing that much. They tried the whole story thing, which no one was really interested in. A few people followed
it. No.
And the Fargoids on foot never turned up, did they?
Nope.
And that's what everyone was waiting for the last 5 years or whatever it was.
That's not happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think
the lead is at a make or break position. If they don't do the right thing now with these supposed updates and everything, then they might as well just hang it up.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You can always tell because if you go onto their Twitch stream for their company, they're always playing a different game to Elite. So that's where they want their money at. You know, they're going to show you what they want to buy. But yeah, Elite Dangerous, another game that could be amazing, but again, is sold out.
Yep.
Just making me take one step back from gaming one more. Ooh, I'm here now, look. Oh, now I'm here. Oh,
until you fall off the cliff the other way.
Fall off my chair.
It's not all bad in gaming, Nick. I know you see a lot of bad stuff with all the news we do cover, but there is a lot of good stuff happening in gaming and in the gaming sphere in terms of the more indie games coming out and more interesting games coming out for better prices.
Indie games is the only good thing at the moment, I think.
Yeah, they're really good. But also, look at Helldivers. That's a really good game that's came out recently, and everyone seems to love it.
They changed the controls on that thing.
Huh?
The controls. I just want to be able to change the controls. That's all I want to do.
I'm not sure if you can or not, but what I've done with it so far is amazing. It's just, I find it really fun. Unfortunately, I think you can change the controls. I just don't know how to, because I never look into that.
Yeah.
Someone in the community, if you know how to change the controls on Helldivers, please do join the Discord.
You can change the controls, but it's certain controls. So I can change it to up, down, left, right to move, but then I can't change the controls around that. Anything that's not a number or a letter, it won't let you change, and you get issues when you come to do it. It's really, really frustrating. But
what you struggle with the most is the things that you call in, the...
Yeah, because I can't press a button and move, and then because you have to do a little combination. So if I'm walking through the map and then I've got to do a combination, I've got to press a button and then do the combination with another finger, all simultaneously by playing.
Why don't you program that into your Stream Deck and do one button?
That's what I was going to say. They've designed a software for that for your Stream Deck, so now you can click on your Stream Deck and just have a little folder open, and you can click whatever one you want to do.
That would work.
I think that'll be best for you. And then we can actually get into the game a bit more, because I've been loving it, but I've just... Every time I play it, I'm just like, hey, anyone around? No. Oh, okay, everyone's offline now.
What's the player base like now?
Still at hundreds of thousands. I think last time I checked it, it was like 450 plus.
It's pretty big. It's just... Every time you look at the gaming news, there's always an article out on Helldivers for one thing or another.
Ross, when have you been asking people to jump out and play this game yet? I never see you, and you're always on Do Not Disturb in Discord, so you're talking poo-poo.
The reason why I'm on Do Not Disturb on Discord is because I am I'm quite high up in a server of 52,000 people, and that's why.
Help.
Basically, yes. I look who's online in the general Discord, and I don't bother putting a message out if I don't see anyone online. So I haven't actually put out a message. I've just looked and been like, oh, no one's online. That's what I mean. Okay. If you want to play Helldivers, hell yeah.
Some people will say yes.
I've been thinking about trying it. I just didn't know if I wanted to plunk down the money for it yet.
It'll be hilarious if you and Trevor get into this gray. It'd be absolutely hilarious. I can just imagine you now trying to do the stratagems and basically like, what buttons do I click?
Yeah, I could just imagine the headache now with gray doing that.
I'll tell you, but if it's something like that you can program in the Stream Deck now, that's great. Because even in Elite, I had buttons programmed for the tedious tasks that you don't want to just go bump, bump, bump like this. I just hit the button and done.
with people who struggle with it, I'll say, yeah, get on the stream deck. But myself, the fun of the game is the stress of when you miss a button stroke and you're like, oh no, I've done it wrong. I have to now redo it again. And it's just like the weird anxiety stress moment. And you're like, oh. And for those of you who are wondering, I use controller. I don't use my keyboard, which is a... keyboard. I very rarely use my keyboard. I only use it for like CSGO and
he's not a real gamer, get him out of here.
Why?
I use it for Call of Duty and
but sorry, you are one step above Gray because he's on a trackball.
That's true. Oh,
I'm more advanced than most people on the trackball, so there you go. That's just
fair enough. No, the reason
I'm in an elite class.
Oh, could you send me your trackball? I can put it in my display case for medieval items.
I'll send you my old one.
Discovered 80 years ago.
Yeah. You imagine even the Romans have moved over to an upgraded the digital mouse from that, man. Come on.
No, wait, about 100 years from now, some other people will be metal detecting. They go, like, what's this? It's a freaking trackball.
Yeah,
thingy.
Someone in the background will be, it's just a trackball. And they'll be like, it's not worth anything. Throw it away.
Put it in auction.
I tell you what probably would be worth money, though, was when you take the ball out of the back of the mouse and roll it around, that heavy ball. Such a good feeling.
I'm saying nothing. Not
balls.
Going there. Nope.
Not yeah, yeah. A heavy ball and roll it around.
It's that tactile feel thing. I get it.
See, I see what you mean by heavy balls. I like round, hard things as well. That's why I've got this dice here.
That's not squishy. Round, is it?
It is. It's kind of round.
Your ball looks like that, I would go to a doctor, sir. Just saying. Something not
it
right
looks
there.
Exactly like this, to be honest. I guess I should be worried. Anyway,
he's got D20
more
balls.
D20.
I always roll the natural ones.
Right, we're moving on. I wanted to talk about, because obviously we done a Fallout stream last week. The podcast was all about Fallout 76 and 3-4 and all that. We did get back into Fallout 76. It does work remarkably well. And me and a few others, there's been about 6 or 7 of us every day jumping onto Fallout 76 in the Discord. If you're out there and you want to play Fallout 76, what we do is we jump on and we all just go and help each other do missions. We're trying to get all the achievements and play from the start on Xbox. So if you're new to it and you want to get in, don't feel like we've all been playing and you'll be like well behind, because you won't. You can start at any level and you get level 20 straight away just by coming into the game. They give you a boost pack. But yeah, we've all been playing Fallout 76. I will be continuing to play it until I get all the achievements, hopefully. Feel free to get into there. Boys, would you just take over a second? I've got like an emergency call coming in from my daughter and I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah, no worries.
So, what should we talk about now?
Everything, anything. We could talk about anything now Nick is gone.
Well, we should just go on to Trev so we can talk about Ark Survival.
Well, before we go into Ark Survival, I do want to talk about Fallout 76 and how Nick said it's been working really well. I've been playing Fallout 76. I actually enjoyed the tutorial and I went to the level 20 mode. I went to an area in the map where there's a Mothman church. And in that area, I found a glitch. It's like a little wooden panel in one of the houses that you can jump onto. And when you jump onto it, immediately traps you in place. No worries. Immediately traps you in place and you cannot move whatsoever. I could not run my way out of it. I could not crouch my way out of it.
What is it? Sorry, I missed it.
So I found an area. Let me repeat this again for Nick. I found an area in Fallout 76 that I got trapped in.
Dug hole, trapped. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had to
say Fallout 76. I'd have been with you.
Yeah, I had to restart my game completely because where I was actually trapped in, it was an auto-saved area. So I was just like, I cannot move. So I'll just relog my game. Luckily, it loaded me to my last save, which was outside of the town.
Why couldn't you press escape? And then fast travel somewhere.
I couldn't fast travel at the time. I didn't unlock any fast travel points. It was literally at the beginning of the game. I couldn't fast travel anywhere.
Oh, right.
Glitch.
Yeah.
You got unlucky.
I literally got unlucky within the first half hour. I was like, oh, this is actually kind of fun, just playing about. And I was like, oh, I just got trapped.
I haven't had any problems like that at all. And the game's been running really, really smoothly for us. Like, we've all been jumping in and doing missions together and everything. They've done some upgrades to the game. So now when you go into like missions and stuff, say there's like 5 of us on my team, when I go into a mission for a door which is inside, like today with Lee, I did it. It will say to him as he comes through the door, do you want to go in as a team and help me? Or do you want to go in solo and do your own mission? So you can literally all walk around together if you're doing the same mission especially. And when you get to the door, you go in and you all finish your mission separately. And that's a really nice touch.
I found that out differently. I found that out when I was playing with Lee when you went off the other night.
Yeah.
And I thought you couldn't do that. I thought it was asking you to leave. And I was like, I'm actually here to help Lee. And hopefully I get the same rewards that he does. I went in to help him. That's the option I selected, thinking, well, we're going to share the rewards. That's a logical thing to do in a game that's got multiplayer in it. No, I get something like 20 or 30 caps. He gets like a gun and 100 caps. Well,
what? Well, the thing is, I thought it was quite good because the amount you got given, like I done a mission with someone, I got 1,500 caps, I think it was.
What? It's okay, yeah. I get shafted.
Maybe I didn't. Maybe it said I had 1,500 caps then.
Yeah, I think that's more like it, mate.
Yeah, Jesus. That's right. You actually only gained 20.
So are we saying that if you go in to do it yourself, you'd still be part of the team with your friends, but you would be doing that on your own?
Your own thing off, yeah.
That's weird. I've never seen that in a multiplayer game before.
Yeah, so if you go in alone and you've got the same mission you're doing as me and we're both at the same point, like we both went into this Blood Angel hideout and we both clicked separate and we both killed the boss. We both finished the mission. We come back outside and then we pick, oh, right, should we do your mission, do my mission? But the way us lot have been playing is we've been doing it where, say there's 10 of us on there. The first person who comes online, obviously they get to pick the first mission. We help that person do one mission. Then the second person that came online, they pick a mission. We all go and help them. Because you're all getting XP and leveling up still. And then we just all play for a mission each and we take it in turns to go around. And it's quite good like that because you get a big variation of what you're doing on the map. You're not like, it's like taking a holiday from your game to help someone else.
You have to leave the team though, don't you? You have to like leave the team and then join the other person every
time
you
don't.
Want to.
All you do is if you're all in the game, say there's 10 of us and I'm the team leader, I go onto the friends list and I just right click anyone and go make them team leader.
Oh, right, okay, that's cool. To them. That's cool, okay, then.
And it works really well, and I've been playing it, and we haven't played a multiplayer game for a long time, and it's actually been quite funny. Like today, me and Lee went into a base, and we got overrun by, like, bad guys, and it was funny. We was having a good time. Like, yesterday, you know, when we was all on yesterday, and you was like, Nick, you keep running away? Like, we haven't had a funny time.
How much stamina do you have in that game, by the way?
None,
Jesus.
I just didn't have any guns. I was running with no clothes and no guns.
You don't need any stamina.
but no lie, we was actually having fun, weren't we? It was like the old days. We was all on a game and was all chilled and relaxing and we was just playing.
Yeah, some things never change. Nick runs off and leaves his teammates. He's away in the distance. It's all about house missions. Yeah, yeah. Some things never change.
I don't believe him. Don't listen to him, people. It wasn't like that at all. But Fallout 76, we're playing this all the time at the moment. Everyone's welcome to join us. It's been really fun. And all I can say is, if everybody wants a Discord to thrive and to keep working and to be busy... what you need to do is if you are playing a game, anyone, us lot, you lot, people out there, is if you're playing a game, don't be scared to play your game. If no one's in a room, jump in the room, yeah? Even if you mute, so no one can hear you or whatever, mute your mic, mute whatever, but jump in the room and people will jump into that room with you. Like, if I jump on, 10 people are entering that room within an hour and we'll all be playing, you know?
Yeah.
And I know it's hard to do that. Sometimes you don't feel like doing that. If there's no one on, you get on the computer, you play the game, think, okay, we'll jump in the room, no one's going to come in. But if you do that, no one will come in. But if like Ross, say you started playing Minecraft on your server, just jump in a room, mute your mic so no one can hear you, yeah? Or stream it in the Discord, and people will jump in, and that's how we get the Discord. Because all the time that there's no games to be played, it's hard to keep the community active when not many people are playing games because there's nothing out there and everyone's in this. It's like gaming's going through like a depression or something. There's nothing going on. Everybody's like, there's nothing to play. Can't be bothered.
Yeah,
I honestly think it comes down to games being streamed. So now you're overwhelmed with games, so you're not that fussed to play them. Whereas if you paid 50 quid for a game, trust me, you're going to play it. And this is the problem you're getting. And then also, there's all these problems with games, and everybody's sort of going, they're annoying me. So it's a double whammy against gaming at the moment. So we just need to make our way through and out the other side, you know what I mean, until it picks up again and things start working again. True. Right, let's move on. Trev, I believe you've got something to talk about, mate.
This is not a review as such because I haven't played enough of it, but I think I'm the only one that done this, so I thought I'd mention it. The art game that came out years ago, they brought out a new version of it with the Unreal Engine 5.
Do you really want to go down this road right now?
Yeah, no, I do, because I want to talk about the difference between the two. There was a free version came out for the Game Pass, so I thought I would try that first of all. You know, it is Ark Survival Ascended, one from years ago.
It was a broken game.
It was, and some things never change. The brought it one for.
We should change it from Fallout, where it says war. War never changes. And we should change it to gaming. Devs never change.
You just want the money and the run.
That game came out, it was crap. It was absolutely crap. There was no,
I don't know if anyone out there has tried the original game from back in the day.
Yeah.
But I tried that too. And
I thought the original looked better
some stuff
than the new one.
The new one's a million miles better. It really is. It's a stunning looking title. But do not play the one on that comes free with the Game Pass. Because Oh, you have played it, Nick. Oh, I thought you just played the old school one.
No, that's what I'm saying to you. So the old school one we've played on max graphics with high frames and it runs really well. It's really nice. It's pretty. And then the one on Xbox came out. I didn't realize there was two versions of it. I thought it was just Xbox and that was the same as...
Upgraded, that's what it is.
Well, that one came out and when we played it, the graphics, it ran terribly with the graphics.
Yeah.
Low frame rates, Game Pass horrible. Version. Looked grainy and horrible.
There is only way... I found out the reason for it. I've done lots of research online. I went into a lot of forums and stuff, and I was like, well, why is this so bad? Why would they not implement DLSS into that version, the Game Pass version? And the guys were saying most likely it's because it's a Xbox Game Pass version. And what does Xbox run on? AMD, not NVIDIA. So it's not in their best interest to put that version in. Plus the devs, we don't give a shit. So it's really, really bad. Now, that's even with a good graphics card. So I was like, no, to hell with this. Even if it's free, I can't put up with these graphics. I've got a good graphics card, man. It was struggling.
A game like that, that game is no good if the mass market can't play it. Because that game needs a team of people to play it. So it's just pointless. You ain't going to play that on your own.
And it was free as well. Like I say free, it's Game Pass. Right? So you got that. It's included. But you think it would be a massive deal. But people are going to have to turn that right down. So I got the Steam version. Now, I was waiting for the two-week period to see if the Game Pass version would be patched to include the DLSS because you need it, and it wasn't. So I was like, I'll keep the Steam version. I'll say something about the Steam version. It is way better. And I know, Nick, you've had problems before with DLSS, but you need it for this game. Oh, my God, it's game-changer. I swear to God, you go from about 40 frames to more than double that, and it still looks amazing. It makes it playable. I can play at 4K, 80 to 100 frames, and it just looks gorgeous. Plus, you dial in the settings a bit, but you don't put everything up ultra. That's a silly waste of resource. You dial in some things, the settings the proper way, and then it looks stunning. I was playing about, running about, mugging off some animals. Actually, they were mugging me off. I was running for the hills. and then I thought I'd mug off what are the big, massive, shark things called? The megalodons. Is it megalodons? Yeah, mugging them off. They munched me in one go. So
is it just a copy of the tiny fish? Normal arc?
No, it is the same game. It's just been upgraded and put into the UE5 engine. So it looks stunning. But they haven't configured it because that's what Ark
do. So it's exactly
the
same base building pieces, same everything.
Yeah, it's exact same game, mate. The only reason I bought it was on sale for £24. And I thought, yeah, that's a decent price. Okay, I'm going for it. So I've got it in place. Game. No, that's out. Arc 2's out. Was supposed to come out about now, or was it last year? But it's been delayed. So that's the one with your man.
It's so confusing, didn't it? Like, it really is confusing.
Who's your man's in that? Vin Diesel. He's in that game, if you remember from the trailer. So, so if you want to play it, guys, and you want the newer version, go Steam only. Do not go for the Game Pass version unless you're willing to dial the settings right down. And what's the point when you've got a new shiny engine to play with? So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What we'll do is, Gray, if you do your next bit, and then we'll do the two questions, because that'll probably take us to the... I want to get them two questions in. Take it away, Gray.
You know what I'll do? I'm going to cover the first one, and I will just push off the other two, because I can do that anytime. This I thought was kind of funny. Not funny, but it's basically Enshrouded now has closed down user suggestions. But they didn't close down the user suggestions because they were trying to be mean about it. Or disheartening about it.
Overwhelmed.
They got too much. So I was reading this thing and they're going like, wow. It says submitting new suggestions is currently disabled in big bold letters, in capitals. And they go, please search one of the existing 2,600 plus suggestions and upvote or comment on them. I'm like, oh my God.
To be fair though, we've been crowded. I haven't actually gone back to it to finish that DLC, the new one. The extras they put in, I haven't actually gone back to finishing that yet.
To be honest, even though they put some interesting stuff in there, it's all mostly technical, and they added the dungeons. So really, the only new stuff is the dungeons. The rest of it's just technical fixes. Yeah. And what they did say is they said their first priority is major issues, crashes, and bugs. There's going to be nothing new coming out for a little while yet. They want to smooth out all that stuff first. And then they're going to come out with new content.
It's okay, because we've got plenty of time to catch up with what we need to.
Hey, you know what? I don't care if they take a little time doing it, because the game is so good. Yeah. If they can come out with another big section of the map like the last one, and it's just as good, well, great. I'll wait a little bit.
Yeah, maybe get some special weapons and some special like hard missions that take like really hard missions that you have to have.
What do you boys want in the game then? What would you, if you each could put something in at the moment, a feature or a gun or anything, what would it be?
For me at the moment...
Well, more content.
When I went back to the game, when they put the dungeons in, even though the dungeons were new, I felt a little bit like I'd been there, done that, and I had 90% interest in it and 10% like, it's a bit samey.
Did you beat the dungeon boss?
No, I didn't beat the dungeon boss. I didn't even get that far. I had to go away. I went up to Manchester, didn't I? So I didn't get to finish it. And then I jumped off and I started playing other stuff. But
remember my fix for that one.
Yeah, but what I will say is I really feel like they need to open this game up to something where the player base can make it into their own game. You know, like you get games that don't have nothing to do and then your story is your own sort of thing. Like you'd say an arc or something like that.
Yeah. Social sandbox.
Yeah, I think it would be good if they could put something in like factions or something in a map, and then you and your team, so say like there's 10 of us on Extreme Gaming Discord playing, and we're all on this faction. I think it would be good if it would be like, right, we're these people, and around us there's other people, and we can all push to have wars with other people, like different bases. I think because that would sort of open a bit like how Rust is.
Yeah, true.
Would be a good thing on that, because you can build.
Or maybe a portion of the map could be like that, and the rest of it could be different.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool.
I just want more content. Like I enjoyed that. If they keep doing what they're doing, like bring in a few bits and bobs, but then open more of the map and stuff. That's why I want more, because there's not much to fix. To be fair, if anything, I thought it was
the other thing I'd like to see. Which I said before, would be missions based around building fortresses. So they want you to actually have a reason to be building. So say, 10 Days to Die.
7 Days to Die,
10 Days to Die. I don't know where that came from.
You just added a few days. It's okay.
A week and a half.
Because I always extended it to make it 10 because of I was crap.
That's a new DLC coming out, 10 days.
But I would love to see that. That's something I would really like to see a feature of, is that every now and then a wave of bad guys will come to destroy your base and you have to fend them off. You know, so your fortress is real. That'd be a real nice...
Either that or you leave the game and you come back and it's leveled. Like, oh no.
Ross, do you play this game? Is there anything you want enshrouded?
I haven't played it yet, unfortunately.
No, he's still playing the other game that everyone's forgot about. What's it called?
Power World.
With the silly title, Power World.
Actually, they've released more content to that to the point where they've added another 200G achievement score onto it. So I do need to go back to Power World and start playing it more again.
You beat his score.
Wait, you were mentioning achievements. Now Nick's going to start playing Power World.
To be honest, I didn't like the achievements on Power World. They were very basic. It was like, kill this person 100 points, kill this person 100 points.
To be honest, you did play Peppa Pig just to get the achievement, so...
Yeah, but Power World is a game that you play for hundreds of hours. And look, it's a bit different. I play Peppa Pig for an hour and a half to complete.
You're an achievement whore, Nick. I don't care what anyone says, including you. You're an achievement whore. You'll do anything for achievements.
We didn't say he wasn't either. It's just, you know...
I'm more classy. I'm like a high-end.
He's a classy whore.
See, me and Ross would allow you two to come in on this little competition, but you don't play enough games.
Well, I'll clip on that one.
A high-end achievement whore.
I said they could come in on it, but they don't play enough games.
No, they're scared, Nick. That's what it is. They're just scared of our achievement glory.
Yeah.
But, where are we going with this?
Anything for you, Gray?
Sorry, say again?
So Trev said, is there anything you would want added to the game?
They're doing such a good job that I can't even... the only thing I think would be cool is they're adding new biomes because one of the things they said at the beginning was that there was never any water or lakes or anything. I would love to see a water area, but go beyond that and have like underwater factions. Or not underwater, underwater battles. That would be cool. So not just the fact that there's water around there, but be able to actually go under the water and maybe build a base under the water.
I bet that water mechanic is super, super hard to implement with the fact that
it doesn't have to be perfect, but can you imagine building a base underwater?
With the fact that you can dig any part of the world up, they've got to make that water that it runs into the deepest points. It's got to have like real mechanics of water. Like, otherwise it would be like, there was a game before, I can't remember what it was, but like, you say you've got a square lake, and then you dig the ground away from it, there's just a wall
of
water.
Bye-bye, lake.
Yeah.
That's okay, that's cool.
So,
well, you asked what I want to see. I would love to see that. But at least we'll have the water. They also talked about they're going to have a snow biome.
Yeah, they've already got that as well, cold on the mountains.
You know, yeah, but there's nothing to do until they put it in.
Yeah.
They're doing a great job, so whatever you guys want to do, this sounds good to me.
Yeah, right. Let's move on, because I want to get these questions done. We've got two questions. We've got one from Irish Guardian. We've got one from Trev here.
We'll swap my question out for the little free games that are coming out, mate, because that's most time sensitive, and there's some good free games coming out.
Well, I thought that was quite a good question, though.
Okay, we could do both then. I'll need a minute or two.
So, Irish Guardian says... in Civ builder games, what would you do versus real life? So from Settler, like Civ Town, builders such as Age of Empires, Manor Lords, and other games in real life, if you were to start your own civilization and just starting out, what would your priorities be, i.e. food, shelter, etc.? Mine is food, shelter, then go from there. Right, so I can see some funny answers coming out here. Trev's going to the closest sheep.
What?
No. I don't live in Wales. I live in Scotland.
Oh,
behave.
I can't believe you said that. Well, Welsh friends are going to be
what? Here come the emails. Sorry, everybody that lives in Wales.
Sorry, Wales.
Oh, boy.
Right. Anyone want to go first or shall I go first?
You go first.
So if it's like a settler game... compared to real life, it depends. Because if I was in medieval times and I was having a battle with Lee, Man City, I'd probably do what I did in the game. And he was hassling me for weeks about getting in Age of Empires, yeah? And having a battle, me versus him, because he says he's really good at that game. So, like, he's going, oh, come on, man, it'd be really fun. Let's do it. We can save it and keep playing it over weeks, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, then, finally, I'll come in. So, you know what I do? You know when you start the game and you've got, like, your one little man that you go and make him chop wood and then he makes more people or whatever, yeah? mm-hmm. and you're meant to build up your base and then build up an army and then you can take them to war, yeah? So what happens is, 1 second in the game, the first guy's on the map, I march him straight over to Lee's base and I attack his one little man. And that was it, game over.
Lee.
But I do think he killed me, though, to be fair. But he was like, that's not how you play, Nick, is it? And I was like, you didn't say how I had to play. I can play however I want. And he was like, but I was expecting like some big battles and building a city and all that. And I was like, you asked me to play, I played. And that was it. So in real life, I could do that. But to be honest, I think if I was building, if I found a bit of woodland in the middle of nowhere, I might come up to Scotland in the Highlands and I find a bit of land, yeah? I think what I would do is, the first thing I would do, Matt, before what you did is, because you said you would first find food. I wouldn't find food first. The first thing you do when you get stuck on a piece of land is you find a source of water. That's the number one.
Yeah. Water always before food.
Always water before food. And it always it can't be a stagnant water. It always has to be a running water or something. If it's a lake or something, it's got to be fresh water. It's got to have an inlet and outlet in it. So that's what I'd go for first. I'd find the water. Once I found the water, every pig, hog, sheep, snake, anything, ants, bugs, they better make a move because I will eat you. Literally. We're watching, like, Bear Grylls. My missus is like, I can't believe this program. Like, I reckon they've put them pigs on there running around and then they just killed them, blah, blah, blah.
They did. They admitted that.
Did they really?
Yeah, they put a few pigs on there. What is it? The one where he's on Bear Grylls and he puts, like, two teams on an escape island.
Mm.
I love that show. I applied for that. I got through it the second round, by the way.
Did you? Well, the thing is, on them programs, you've got to realise, I said this to someone earlier on, when you're trying to record something, what goes on behind the scenes to make that program good, they could never do something naturally. Like, you've got a race across the world. What? And you see the people running down the street, yeah, getting on a bus and then pissing off on the bus. Well, you don't think the guy's like, look, we're going to have to film this. Hold on, I'll set the cameras up over here. You run down there. None of it is real. No TV programs are really that real.
Nick,
you know?
It's a health and safety thing. It's our HR thing. If they don't put bare minimum water and food on there, they still put like a couple of boars in there and like you have to go and find them, catch them and kill them. Far more difficult than it seems.
My missus is like Friends of the Earth and she's like all animal rights and everything.
She's dead. She's dead right away. She's the first one to perish.
She hates Bear Grylls. She literally hates him because like there was one episode once where he's like, you know what you've got to do to survive? And he's got this big, massive, great Bowie knife, yeah? And he's standing on a beach. He jumps out of a helicopter. He walks up onto the beach. He says, the first thing you need to do is to find the food. And there's this poor innocent crab just walking along the beach, yeah? Gets his Bowie knife. He's like, yeah! Stabs it through the things, straight through the top of it, yeah? He says, I'm not going to cook this one, but this is how you would kill it, blah, blah, blah. My missus is like, is he taking the absolute piss? He's just literally just killed that poor little sod and just walked off. You know what I mean? So, but the Gazbeard says, you're not allowed into Scotland, Nick. You got to get past the wall first. Northumbria won't let you have a visa. you Southern Frenchie. What's a Southern Frenchie? I don't get that.
It's because you're probably close enough to France than you are to be. Actually, are you? Frenchie? No, I'm probably closer to you.
I've never heard that one before.
You do like baguettes, though, Nick.
I've heard of a Southern fairy.
That's Ross, is it not? He was talking about fairies a few months back. Remember?
Yeah, I remember
you
that.
Want to be a fairy member? You got mixed up with your
I'll
words.
I'll do it. He can't remember, so I'll bring it back.
It's a clip.
Once, back in the day, I was looking for a job, and I wanted to go and be a fairy. Oh, hey, yeah. Actually, I worked on a fair.
I didn't want to be a fairy. I didn't want to be a fairy. I went to work on a fair for a weekend.
You said you was a fairy.
Wait, you went to work on a fairy?
Yeah, I was a fairy.
A fairy or a fairy?
I was ferret.
Oi, I've seen you dancing around in a tutu. Don't give me that. With your little wand.
Wait, what?
Does anyone remember the meet a fairy?
There is no tutu that can fit my booty. Trust me, there is
extended tutu.
It needs to be like Meg.
Concertina, especially for you.
Yeah, not everybody looks like Tinkerbell.
Do any of you remember the parking meet a fairy? It was on TV.
No.
Parking meter. Do you remember the parking meters where it was like a little mini lamppost with a little round parking meter?
Yeah, I know the parking meter. I just didn't know the fare.
And you'd put 20p in it. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And every 20p, the little thing would go up and it would say, like, you've got like an hour or 2 hours on a little pointy thing. Remember them?
And if you didn't do it, if it expired, the meter maid came over there and gave you a ticket.
The meter maid?
That's what they called it here.
All right. So here it's called a parking attendant, traffic warden. No one likes him. And basically, there was a guy going around and he was called the parking meter fairy. And what he'd do is he'd have a pocket full of 20p's, yeah, and he'd be dressed in a like pink tutu and he'd have like a bow on his head and a little wand on that. And he'd skip down the street. He'd find a traffic warden, yeah, get 20 feet in front of the traffic warden. And everywhere the traffic warden went, he would walk 20 feet in front, and every time traffic warden looked at the meter, he just put 20p in it, and then he'd dance off to the next one and put 20p in that one. So the traffic
there
warden,
goes the, there goes
so
the revenue.
Traffic
for
warden couldn't get any money. Man City, thank you for that prime, dude. Appreciate that.
Oh,
mate.
We were just taking the piss out you, Lee. You just missed it, mate. We took the piss out you, then you subbed. Nah, we should do that more often.
That's real love, man. That's real love.
That is. Right, we were, we?
Right, we was getting back. So who's next on what they would do?
Go on, I'll go.
Go on.
First thing I would do would be I would build a streaming booth so I could stream everything I was going to do after that and get income from it and get maximum likes and ask everyone to share the likes
but
as well.
Do you get income now from streaming booths?
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go, Nick. I'm making this up as I go, mate. Like, you're asking too many complicated questions.
He's sold out. He's got nothing.
I've sold out, yeah. I'll get sponsored from the start. I'll stream everything.
It's like that.
And I'll stream. So I do that first. I start streaming it. And then the second part is going to get water. I'll stream me going up to find Nick and killing his little guy first. Come back down and I'll just stream it all. Yeah. So there you go.
Gray, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I don't know. You guys lost me on that one.
Gray doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm a clue, man.
The dementia's kicked in.
No, what I would do is I would find a place where I could dig a well to get my water so I don't have to go near streams or anything. I just pull it out of the well. So that's the first thing I would
no
do.
Well.
Most places have some kind of deep water. Well, you just keep digging until you hit something.
What are you talking about? You're in the middle of a new land. You've just fell
what
out
you
of
mean
the sky.
You keep, what do you mean you keep digging until you find something? It's not enshrouded, it's, man. It's not enshrouded. There's real life.
There's groundwater down there somewhere.
Maybe.
So he gets into a new world, he digs a hole. He digs a hole, runs out
gets
of energy,
it and cries.
Food and water,
look,
dries out and dies.
Not only can I find some kind of groundwater, but I might find some Roman coins.
He's dug his own grave, basically.
But if I found some Roman coins, I could sell them and then I could, build a proper water irrigation.
There's no currency in this world yet.
Oh, damn, man.
This is like we're turning into D&D.
This all sucks.
It's turned into D&D.
So
first thing I'd do is build a pub and then drink myself silly.
Is it the world of Enshrouded or is it just some world?
Dunno.
Because like what are the rules here? Is a hunger meter? Do I not need to eat? Do I need to drink? Do I not need to drink? Because in these games sometimes there's a hunger meter, sometimes there's not.
He's so had to take it to that serious level, isn't he?
Yeah. We don't think of the details.
No, just... I'm thinking about all the details. So let's say if there's not a hunger meter.
Irish Guard is making it up. He's playing the D&D with us. He said there's hunger and health, etc.
There's hunger, good health. What's my stat block? Like, do I just come in here as a normal guy? Do I have special powers? Do I not have special powers?
This is getting way too overly complicated now. Come on.
No, I need to know the rules of this world.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
I have the power of a god? That's
well,
what I
except
need to
for
know.
That, you can do whatever else.
Okay, can I fly? If I can fly, that's pretty dope.
Find out where I am.
This is going to go down some seedy route where one of you starts talking
about
your fantasies. Look, Trev's already thought about this.
And then I stopped. Because the thing is, to have that fantasy, you'll then need to invent like the woman or the man or whatever, and you've only got so many wishes, people, so you have to think practically about this.
I,
Ross, find out where my hole is dug and dig one right next to me.
No, I'm good for your hole. Great, don't worry about it. I would need to. Okay, let's say I'm a basic person. If I'm a normal person in this world, what I would do is...
You're not even a normal person in this world.
True. Okay, if I'm the same in this world as I am in that world, then...
Oh, touché.
The gas beard says, if there's hunger and thirst, you need to dig a latrine too and catch rabbits to use them as bum wipes. My missus will be very unhappy with that and she'll put you in the same pit of hell as Bear Grylls.
Your missus is not going to last too long in this world. She won't eat anything to survive. She's absolutely fecked.
Oh,
she.
What's my knowledge base? Do I come in here like flowers. A bumbling idiot, or do I have some knowledge pumped into my head about this world?
You've had a few things pumped into you, but it's not knowledge.
This is never ending.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Like, you can't ask me these types of questions because I want to know everything.
Oh, boy.
Like, what are the rules of this world?
Jeez, right, move on. He's giving me a sore head now, man. Jesus.
Okay, I know. I got a headache already.
Right, we're moving on. We're moving on to a more grounded, down-to-earth question from Trev. I like this question.
You're welcome, mate. There's some free games on Prime Gaming, if you have it, guys, that are decent. Tomb Raider Game of the Year Edition.
Nope.
Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars. Nope. But then on May 9th, we've got a classic that Nick will like. Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition on May 9th. So getting that because I've never played it. So I'm going to jump on that one. May 9th, Electrician Simulator, another simulator game.
Oh my God, no, please, jeez. Oh.
You can't slag simulator games,
mate. Can I just go up to the
plug,
electrocute myself and call it a day?
Yeah. and dig a hole beside Grey so that there's three in a row now. Yeah.
Three holes, right.
Right, okay, we'll get this question out of the way then. Have you ever pretended to be sick to get out of something so you could play a game? That could be work, that could be socialising with Nick to play a game. Have you done
sometimes I do stuff to wind my missus up, yeah, so she gets angry and she goes, oh, why don't you just piss off and get out of my sight, and then I go upstairs and I get a free gaming session.
Great.
Oh no, clip that and send it.
She probably already knows, she's not dumb.
If I'm going, I'll just go first then because I'll forget this one, I'll get a shit memory. I would probably say one of the older CODs. It might have been Call of Duty Ghosts, possibly, which wasn't one of the better ones. I queued up for a while to get that at midnight. They gave me a free T-shirt and hat. I came back, and I won't get into details because there's some kids who listen to the show after all. I came back, and my missus at the time wanted to go to sleep, let's put it that way. I was like, I'm playing COD all night and I'm going to actually try and rank up as much as... No, I sacked her off, mate. I played COD all night. And I didn't go to work.
What you're missing out here, though, is you thought you sacked her off, and in your belief...
She sacked me off for about 2 weeks,
mate. You was thinking, I can't be dealing with this tonight because I want to play COD. And she was thinking, oh, mate, I'm going to go to bed, have some fun, and it'll be better than with Trev.
You could do better than that.
She reversed psychology, and you thought you walked away as on a winner, but she walked away on the winner.
See, you've got to do better than that. I expect higher insults than that, Nick. Your standards are slipping, man. You've got to do better. No, I get sacked off for about a fortnight after that. Didn't go into work the following day because I was too knackered, but I ranked up. Happy days, Call of Duty.
You went into work, didn't you, in the morning? They said, where have you been? You said, but I'm level 60.
It's the only thing that was up, it was ranked up, but yeah. Who's next?
For me, on a serious note, every Fallout, Skyrim, all of them, I would have probably took, if it came out like 12 o'clock at night on the night before, I would have took a day off for them games. But moving your question on a little bit further, if you was to say to me, what game would you take a sick day for? I would say,
Shroud.
Don't even know at this point because there's nothing good enough. With joy like the games used to.
What game from before, man?
Enshrouded, you would.
You must have one game that you played in the past, Nick, like years ago, that you sacked off work or something,
yeah,
man.
No, that's what I said. I've done it with all of them. All of the Fallouts, I've done that.
All of the Fallouts.
Okay, Shell, definitely. 100% Fable.
Borderlands.
If the new Fable came out and I had to go work, I would sack it off for that, because that is an amazing game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Borderlands, I've done it for Borderlands. Yeah, to be fair, though, you're talking to someone that when they did actually work for a company, out of the 300 plus whatever days it was, I think I took something like 67 days sick.
Holy.
Yeah.
How are you not sacked?
I actually, at the time, I didn't know I was autistic. Yeah. Now we do know, so we know why. But what actually would have happened back then is, I would have woke up every day thinking I don't want to go to work, feeling sick, and then just thinking I was sick. I haven't had that feeling since I left that job. And my missus believes it's down to just too much stress of actually working. Because it is hard to work for somebody else, especially when you're like me. You don't listen to anyone.
Oh, Nick, that's true.
You would have been, if you'd been, I think Greg can confirm this or not. If you'd been in the States and that, you would have been easily sacked. I think their employment laws are a lot. We've got a lot of protections in the UK over things like that. But Greg would have been. He can confirm.
Well, one thing I can say with Nick is that I always owned my own business, so I could just take off whenever I wanted.
Yeah,
I could lose money, but it would depend on what it was.
The workplace I used to work for, obviously, I was a driver for them when I worked at there. Now, this is the way it was. There was five people in the whole company, yeah? And I took one sick day off, and this is before I took loads off, and this is the kind of people that I'm dealing with. I took one sick day off, and I saw something at the front of my house. I looked, and my manager was peeking through my curtains.
What?
Yeah, drove around my house, parked the car up all secretly, and come and peek through my window to see if I was sick.
Oh, my Lord.
Very illegal in UK.
Yep, so it goes both ways, doesn't it? So then I took them and I said, what are you doing peeking through my window? You need to write me a letter of apology and I'm taking more days off.
It's Ross's turn now. Who else wants to answer? Has everyone answered?
Funny enough, any time I took off time sick to play games, I actually was sick. So when I played Cyberpunk all the way through for like 2 weeks, I was deadly ill with the flu.
You could have been that ill, mate, if you're playing games. I was so ill.
You are taking absolute
if
piss,
If you're
Ross,
getting a flu, man, you're dying, not playing games.
Just quickly, I will get around to the messages that you lot are putting in a couple of seconds. Go on, carry on.
I'm saying, it doesn't take that much energy with the controller. If I was using mouse and keyboard, yeah, no
I chance. Don't think you know. This is the younger generation, isn't it? I don't think you know what sick is. Sick is when you go to bed, you lay down because you can't physically do anything. You can't eat anything. Like the last time Trevor was sick, he had neurovirus. He pooed his pants everywhere. No gaming.
It was like Fallout, man. It was just...
Yeah,
last time I was sick, I could hardly move. I could move my hands, so I could play games.
You're not getting it.
How am I not getting it?
You don't want to play computer because you're sick.
No, I play computer games every time I am sick.
You're not sick. You were bunking off.
A bit under the weather. There's a difference.
No, there's not under the weather. I know the difference between under the weather and fucking dying.
Oh, look, you've made him swear now.
I was dying.
You brought him to the extreme levels. He doesn't like being told he's not sick when he thinks
he's
sick.
He doesn't say the F-bomb. He's a good boy, people.
No, I was very goddamn sick when I was playing.
Could you play computer?
No. I couldn't do anything mouse and keyboard-wise. I'd load up the game and just basically be like...
Question is, why would you want to do that if you feel like crap? I mean, it's like...
Because when I was falling asleep and stuff like that, I couldn't fall asleep properly because I was coughing myself awake. So I was like, if I'm going to be awake anyway, I might as well do something. So I was either watching TV or trying to play games whilst I was just there. And it doesn't take that much energy to play Cyberpunk. It's a cool experience. It just doesn't take that much effort. It's not like I was doing like, oh, this is like the best. I was dying tons. I don't know if he was struggling.
Did you have a barf bag next to you while you're...
No, I don't. We don't have.
Right, we better move on before he gets angry.
Another F-bomb.
No. We can see him getting redder and redder. He's about to blow his top.
No, you don't have pop.
Oh,
like
shit, God damn you!
You have a pop next to you when you're
all
sick
of a sudden he goes and smashes his bedroom up.
Right, there was one. So do you know how you have them blow ups, Nick, and stuff like that?
Then blow up. You're talking to the wrong person. It's Trevor with the blow ups, not me.
I've got two of them.
No,
he's got the ones you know out of what's it called? Aeroplane. You know where? Quick, get the autopilot. Press the button, and it goes.
Right. I was thinking about a different like blow up though.
No, do you know how earlier you were talking about shutdowns and stuff
quick,
like that?
Quick, it's got a leak. It's got a leak. Hold on a minute. It's got a leak.
What are we up? What is up now? What is
I remember that.
Again? Instead of
Airplane.
Shutdown, you have like the opposite effect of it. It's like you just get really stressed out and angry.
And then you turn shut green. Down,
sorry, all I can
worse.
See, all I can see is the blow up pilot. That's all I can see at the moment.
No, I'm trying to ask you, Nick. What is the thing where do you know before when you have the autistic shutdowns, like
meltdown,
the opposite of that? Yeah. So I didn't know I had a meltdown before, but I it was a couple of years ago now. I just came in one day. I had a whole bunch of golf clubs there, and I just picked one up and just started smashing it on the ground. I was like, that felt good. And I went through like 10 different golf clubs that I had from the car boot sale. They're crappy wooden ones that no
but
one
just,
ever
just
wanted
to
to
get
buy.
Something clear, you smashed them on the ground, but you didn't smash all your gear up in your bedroom.
No, I smashed the crappy wooden golf clubs instead of my gear.
Fair enough.
Right, anyway, let me catch up with the chat before it goes off the top. So, we're going to get... this is random for all the different conversations we've had in the last 10 minutes.
Has Gray answered, by the way? There's sorry, has Gray answered?
Yeah, he did. He dug a hole and killed himself.
No, that was the wrong, that was the
I
wrong
think
question.
In every conversation we've had tonight, he's dug a hole and killed himself. Did whether he ever dried out from no water, or he's fell in,
no,
or he's...
has Gray taken a sick day to play a game? I don't think he has, because he's a father.
I told you, he works himself.
I own my own business, so I can take whatever I want.
He got very serious about it, didn't
he? Doesn't really count. Okay, right, fine.
Tell
right.
the truth.
So Cheryl said it was Fable, and then the Gazbeard said, since I got made redundant in early 2016, all I've done is play, stream, and make videos of games. I hit retirement at the age this July, so I can do it officially. That's pretty cool. We'll all be sure to check out your stream. Let us know in the Discord when you go on there and stuff like that. Shifty Hams, welcome in, dude. I remember the GTA 4 release, midnight release, in the store. I played it 24 hours from release. He bunked off. He definitely bunked off. He must have.
Yeah, Shifty. Yes, boy.
Man City got excited when his Fable coming out. For all we know, never. Nobody's got an update, so we don't know. It's just another one of them things. Gray said 2036, lol. But he's never played Fable, so he doesn't know what he's talking about.
I just know how long it takes.
And then Man City said 12 years ain't a lot. I'm still hyped. right, let's get down there. So the Gazbeard says on sickness, if you're that sick, just watch gameplay on YouTube or Twitch or pretend you're playing.
I can do that at a pitch
there you
because
go.
I'm just watching. I'm not just using my brain.
Hold a controller in your hands and just watch.
You lot ain't sick like me, man. When I'm sick, do you want me to give you a definition of sick?
I'm proper
when I'm
sick.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I said this
go.
Is the definition
of
sick for me, yeah? Being at my missus, mum and dad's house in the fetal position, completely naked on the bathroom floor, being sick, yeah? And then her coming in, my missus, and going, please, please, just get up or put some pants on. Please, Nick, like, my mum and dad are going to come in here and see you in a minute, and you're completely naked on their bathroom floor. And I'm that sick that I'm just going, I don't care. And then she's like, but my mum's going to see your willy. And I'm like, I don't care. That's when you know you're sick.
Yeah, and I go into work often when I'm still, like, under the weather. If I've got a cough, if I'm off work, it's I'm proper ill. I can't get out of my bed, you know. And that's proper sick, young Ross. Just saying.
It's this new flaky generation, isn't it?
Flaky generation.
Flaky generation.
It's true.
There's no more. It's not Gen X and these other ones. It's flaky generation.
Come on,
my word summed it up better than anybody else, didn't it?
Wait a minute. Like we could just make it called Gen Flake.
Gen Flake.
All I hear is a bunch of old people talking about being ill. You know.
And guess what, people? That brings us to the end of the podcast. Ross is leaving because he's ill. He's going to play a couple of games. Yeah, if any, all I want to say is thanks to everybody that subs to me still on Twitch and on the Discord. I really do appreciate that. And going forward, there is an idea that I might be doing a metal detecting show. And it might be on my own. It might be Gray said he might come on and have some input with it. But it's up to, I said he's a very busy boy. Like, I see Trev looking in. He's like, what, are you going to steal him for more time from me?
No, Grace, welcome. Nah. I'll borrow him sometimes.
I don't know yet what I might do because it might just... I don't know. It's just an idea at the moment. If people are interested to see what I do with the metal detecting and stuff like that, put some comments in the metal detecting channel when we do it. And if I do it, it'll just be short bursts of little bits of information of what we've been doing. More of an interactive thing to see what I'm doing, where it's like I'll put an item up and then you can tell us what you think it is or what you believe it might be or where it was used for. And then I'll go over the history of it and talk about it. I think that's pretty cool. Apart from that, that brings us to the end of the podcast. I'd like to say thanks again to everybody coming in and all of you listeners that still come in and listen to us. I really do appreciate it. And I'll see you all on the next one. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.